Red Dwarf Series 5 Episode 6, Back to Reality Underwater. In this episode, our friends experience a lot of hallucination. For instance, they would imagine the ship crashing when actually everything is fine. Will they ever get out of this state? Come and find out yourself. A spaceship is on the floor of a sea or ocean. Starbuck lands close to it.
Mr. Rimmer, sir, we've located the black box terminal. You should be getting something now.
Rimmer is talking to the others over the radio.
Confirmed. Other details, SSSS Toronto. Ocean seeding ship. Mission to introduce oceanic life to potential S3 planets. This was a recon trip. A 3-year check, strictly routine, to make sure that the amino acid chain had taken.
Lister, Cat, and Crichton are trudging around the dark ship while Rimmer speaks to them over the radio from Starbuck.
They had been trying some new enhancement technique to accelerate the evolutionary process. Top their best projections.
The camera switches back and forth from group to group as they speak.
They got 5 million years of evolution in 3 solar years.
So what happened?
Final entry, routine stuff. They spent the day cataloging and indexing new life forms. Then it stops.
The question which occurs, if this ocean is supposed to be teeming with new life forms, where are they all?
What are you implying, Crichton?
No implication intended, sir.
Yes, there is. You're saying there's some huge damn fish out there, aren't you? Some kind of gigantic, weird, prehistoric leviathan who has porked its entire way through this ocean.
That's one option.
Any alternatives?
None that occur.
Hey, wait a minute. I've got it. Don't fish swim south for the winter?
No, that's birds, sir.
Birds swim south for the winter? How do they breathe?
Lister discovers a skeleton in an adjoining room.
Guys, Rimmer, you getting this? It looks like Norman Bates' mum.
The others have followed Lister into the room and now Crichton scans the decayed corpse.
Human, male, Caucasian. Cause of death, gunshot wound to the head. From the entry and exit wounds, most likely self-inflicted.
Here's another one.
A body is hanging from a pipe, noose round neck.
2 suicides.
There's more.
The group moves on to examine yet another corpse.
A male. Oriental. Clearly he has committed seppuku.
Hey, look what I found.
Cat holds up a fish corpse for Crichton to scan.
Species unknown. Similar to Earth Havoc. Cause of death, suffocation.
What?
What is it?
This fish suffocated in water. It voluntarily closed its own gills.
Are you saying that this Havoc committed suicide?
I'm merely stating the known facts. This fish relinquished its life of its own free will. Damned fool.
Why would a Havoc kill itself? Why am I even asking that question?
Hang five, guys, I'm getting something. He committed suicide, he committed suicide, he committed suicide, and the fish committed suicide. There's some kind of link here I can't quite make out.
Hang on a minute, guys. Period check this.
It's an unknown compound. Best guess is some sort of hallucinogenic venom secreted from a pissing source, not unlike Earth's octopus or giant squid.
This is octopus ink?
Well, I'm just completing a chemical analysis.
What?
Come on, sirs, we have to go.
What's happening?
We have to go.
Crichton, what's going on?
Entering airlock.
Repressurizing now.
Some kind of sea creature, a life form we have never encountered before, attacked the ship. Its defense mechanism is a curious one. It secretes a venom, a poison, possibly even a hallucinogenic, which dysfunctions its prey by inducing despair. That's why the crew members, and even that fish, committed suicide. Unfortunately, we have become contaminated. It's a greatly reduced dose, but we may find that we do experience moments of despair and anguish.
What about Lister and the cat?
I'm okay. I don't seem to be affected. It's true, I don't think anyone ever truly loved me in my entire life, but there's nothing new about that.
What's gotten into you guys? This is like Saturday night at the Wailing Wall. Why is it always me that has to be the strong one? I mean, you guys just fall apart.
I think we should get back just as soon as we can and then take a mood stabilizer. I suggest lithium carbonate.
I know that emotionally this probably isn't the news you want to hear right now, but there's a blob on the sonoscope the size of New Mexico and it's heading your way.
I think our friend the Suicide Squib is about to make an appearance.
Where is it precisely?
Directly above you, about 2,000 fathoms and diving.
Oh, thanks a lot, Rimmer. You know the state we're in and you have to go and give us news like that. You couldn't have lied.
I was lying. It's only 1,000 fathoms.
We're entering Starbuck's airlock now.
The blob is moving around without really closing in on him. Starbuck rear section. Lister and Cat are using breathing masks while everyone is standing around the scope.
What's it doing?
It's trying to figure out what we are.
Cut the power. This venom dash, are we safe in here?
It penetrated the hull of a Class D Space Corps seeding ship. In comparison, we're a sardine tin.
It's moving.
Where?
Down.
Speed.
15 knots, 16, 18.
It's diving.
Course.
Collision.
Do we move or stay?
25 knots, 35, 50.
It's coming straight for us.
There are only three alternatives. It thinks we're either a threat, food, or a mate. It's gonna either kill us, eat us, or hump us. We can either persuade it that we are not that sort of oceanic salvage vessel or we scarper pronto.
To be diddled by a giant squid on the first date? Think how we'd feel in the morning.
Okay, we're going to try and outrun it.
Hit the power and give me manual.
Starbuck lifts off from the ocean bed and starts to move off as quick as it can. The despair squid is in hot pursuit.
Change bearing, 105. There's some natural caverns about 3 clicks away. It might give us some cover.
That's a yo.
New coursing.
They are approaching the underwater caverns when the creature catches up with them, driving them down into the ground.
It's hideous.
Look out!
They impact hard on a ridge, and Starbuck explodes. Game room. We see some very hefty game machinery. The entire group is sitting in dentist-style seats around a central control machine. They are dressed in overalls and have large oxygen masks over their faces. They begin to stir. As with all role-playing adventures, you will experience a certain amount of disorientation on leaving the game. It will be several minutes before your real-life memories return. So, in the meantime, please disengage the game-playing machinery and relax until an attendant is free to answer any of your questions. On behalf of Leisure World International, may we be the first to say, welcome back to reality. The masks lift up and allow the group to get out of their chairs. Lister's hair is straight and he has a ponytail. Crichton has a metal skull plate but has human hands. Rimmer's hair looks like Dr. Emmett Brown from Back to the Future.
This is a very, very bad dream, right?
Rimmer stumbles and is caught by Lister.
I'm not a hologram.
I'm half human.
What the hell's happened to my teeth?
He has teeth with a gigantic overbite and also a Pyrex bowl haircut.
I can open beer bottles with my overbite.
An attendant appears. He is Andy and has a very strong Birmingham accent.
Alright, lads. How you feeling? A bit wonky. Perfectly normal. You'll be as right as rain in 20 minutes. So, if you could just move through into the recuperation lounge, I can get things ready for the next lot.
The next lot?
Yeah, a very popular game is Red Dwarf. It's got a 2-year waiting list. Only got 20 machines. So, how did you get killed, then?
Some kind of squid.
The despair squid? There's no way that should have killed you. Why didn't you use the laser cannons? It's obvious.
Starbuck doesn't dash didn't have a laser cannon capability.
You twonk. Use the laser cannons on the crashed Watson Esperanto. That's how you get out of it.
How are we supposed to know that, you brummy-jit?
Esperanto. That's a clue, isn't it? Esperanto-hope. Hope defeats despair. Despair-the-despair-squid. It's a blatant clue, isn't it? Blatant. If you didn't get that, you must have been playing like puddings. Which one was playing Lister, then?
Me.
Did you get Kachansky?
Was I supposed to?
Supposed to? That's the objective of the game for Lister, you twonk. You get separated to begin with and basically it's a love story across time, space, death, and reality. You must have got the easy stuff, though. Here, what did you think of the planet of the nymphomaniacs?
The planet of the what?
What, you missed that? Oh, that's a riot. Some people spent years on that. Which one was Rimmer?
Me.
Ah, he's amazing, ain't he?
You can say that again.
How long did it take you to suss him out, then?
I had him sussed right from the beginning.
Really? You found the captain's message right away?
What captain's message?
The one that's hidden in the micro dub in the apostrophe I apostrophe in Rimmer's swimming certificate. Well, that's the clue, isn't it? Rimmer having a swimming certificate and not being able to swim.
That's a clue.
It's a blatant clue, isn't it?
A blatant clue to what?
A blatant clue to the truth behind Rimmer.
What truth?
The truth to why he is such an insufferable prat.
That's because of his parents, his upbringing, his background. The fact that he was never loved.
No, no, no.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, no, no.
Yes, yes, yes.
No.
What was it then?
He was a handpicked special agent for the Space Corps. He had his memory erased and was programmed to behave like a complete twonk so no one would suspect he was on a mission to destroy Red Dwarf in order to guide Lister to his destiny as the creator of the second universe.
You what?
Yeah. You know the bit where Lister jumpstarts the second Big Bang with jump leads from Starbuck?
Jumpstarts the second Big Bang?
Well, that's the final irony, isn't it? Lister, the ultimate atheist, turns out in fact to be God.
What?
It's all in the captain's message. It's all in the microdot. Hang on a minute. Are you seriously telling me you were playing the Pratt version of Rimmer for all that time? For 4 years? Wow, that's a classic that is. That's a classic.
A new group of TIVG players arrive.
Alright, lads. Which one's Lister?
One of the group members raises his hand.
Right. Got the food bag by a feedback catheter. It's all there. You can start plugging yourself in. Here, whatever you do, don't mix the food line with the catheter, will you? I had some bloke that did that and didn't spot it for 2 days. Ha ha ha. Okay, Crichton, in you go, son. Okay, Cat Rimmer, hey, give us a bit of room here, will ya please, chaps?
Well, where do we go? We don't know who we are, dash our memories haven't returned yet.
The Recuperation Lounge. I keep telling you. Blimey. No wonder you only scored 4%. Gaw, what a bunch of twonks.
The Recuperation Lounge.
I'm not Lister, then. I'm not me, am I?
None of us are who we thought we were, sir. This is going to take some getting used to.
I'm not Rimmer, then.
No.
I'm not a hologram. I'm not Rimmer.
Well, if we are not who we thought we were, who the hell are we?
The kind of sadics who want to spend 4 years playing a computer game. Either we're running away from God knows what, or we have nothing worth living for in the first place. A nurse arrives.
Is there a Diddly in here?
Pardon?
Diddly?
No, sorry.
Wait a minute. How do you know there is no one called Dwan Diddly in here? It could be you.
No, this is right. Diddly. This is the Diddly party. Which one's Diddly?
The camera focuses on Cat.
No. No, no, please, no. I don't want to be Diddly.
The nurse finds Diddly's bag with his head on it and gets it for him.
It's you. Here are your party's clothes and possessions. The medical officer will be down in 20 minutes.
Diddly. How can I be called Diddly?
Lister starts going through the case the nurse picked out.
It's true. It's got your photograph, name, and address on it and everything. There's an anorak in here. White socks. Nylon shirt. Plastic sandals. Airtex vest. Carbacon. Oh, and a key to the Salvation Army hostel.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid it makes perfect sense, Dwan. Imagine a guy with no lawn, no style dash a misfit. Doesn't it just make total sense that this hapless creature would give his buck teeth to play someone like the cat in a computer game?
So this is really me. A no-style gimbo with teeth that druids could use as a place of worship.
Crichton, open the next one.
Listen, whoever you are, don't push your luck by ordering whoever I am around. Because, almost certainly, whoever I'm not the kind of guy who's going to take any crap from whoever you are. So before you start ordering me around, let's establish whether I'm the kind of guy who doesn't mind being ordered around, or if I'm the kind of guy who gets all uptight by being ordered around by whatever the kind of guy you are. Clear?
All I said was, open the next one.
During this spiel, Lister has grabbed another bag.
Crichton, alright, this one's you.
Oh, who am I?
Well, you're a detective. In the Cypernautic Division of the Police Department.
Oh, golly, really?
Yeah, this is your badge.
A detective, huh? What's my name?
Jake. Jake Bullet.
Jake Bullet, Cypernautic Detective. I like that. That sounds like the kind of hard-living flatfoot who gets the job done by cutting corners and bucking authority. And if those pen pushers up at City Hall don't like it, well, they can park their overpaid fat asses on this mid-digit and swivel-dash-swivel till they squeal like pigs on a honeymoon.
On the other hand, Mr. Bullet, perhaps the Cypernautics Division is in charge of traffic control. You just happen to have a rather silly macho name.
Oh yes, that's a very good point, sir. I didn't think of that.
Deadly.
So, whoever you are, who's next?
I don't want to know. Someone else look.
Stand aside. Let the law handle this.
He grabs the next case.
HMM no photograph. Name, Billy Doyle.
The group looks at Lister.
Not necessarily. It's not necessarily me.
Lister gets up to investigate the suitcase.
Billy Doyle. Well, that's a name that came from the wrong side of the tracks, isn't it? You can see it all now, a youth spent in and out of corrective institutions. A string of illegitimate children. The wife will be all white shoes, no tights, and blotchy legs. Has to take up petty crime to cover the court orders for maintenance. Before he knows it, he's standing in a bank with a sawn-off shotgun. Somehow it goes off. An old lady gets both barrels through a crocheted bobble hat. All he can do is hide. But where? And then it hits him dash with all his ill-gotten gains he can buy 4 years in a computer game and wait until the heat's off. So ends the ballad of Billy Granny Killer Doyle.
Lister lets out a big sigh of relief and hands the case to Rimmer.
It's yours.
What?
It's yours, Bill.
No.
Check the ugly mug on the id then, man.
Lister sits down next to Billy and shows him the id.
William Doyle. William Doyle. Good old Bill Doyle. You know, that sounds like a hell of a good name to me. Probably connected with the Boston Doyles. Old money, blue chip stock. You know, I think it's all starting to come back to me now.
What puzzles me slightly is what a man of such undoubted good breeding would be doing wearing a coat that smells like an elderly male yak has taken a leak in both the pockets.
Well, isn't it obvious?
No, it isn't.
God, my name is Billy Doyle and my cologne is Oda Yak Urine.
So, who am I, then?
He gets up again and opens the last case.
Wow! Look at my gear. This stuff's really, really expensive.
Springing to his feet, are you quite absolutely sure this isn't my box?
Who are you? What do you do?
I work for some company-CGI. I've got a limo in a long-term car park.
Well, clearly you were privy to all the breaks and advantages that life denied poor old William Doyle here.
Jake has found an it badge that fell of the case.
Sir, I think you should take a look at this. Willie, meet your brother, Sebastian.
Sebastian and Billy check out the it Jake has found.
Well, half-brothers. Eternal-same mother.
Corridor outside the lounge. Jake, dressed in a suit, trench coat, and hat, leaves the room first.
This is a crazy idea. We can't leave now. Our memories haven't returned yet.
Next comes Billy, looking like a homeless combination of Columbo and Albert Einstein.
We've got to find out more about ourselves. I refuse to accept I'm his hockey dropout, yak-coat-wearing half-brother.
Dibley stumbles out next, wearing some remarkably uncool clothes and toting a thermos.
Dibley, Sebastian is wearing a dark overcoat over some nice, tan clothes. He saunters nonchalantly until he notices the viewer on one side of the hall and stops to look into the newly started Red Dwarf game.
The viewer shows Starbuck taking off and crashing through Red Dwarf's cargo bay doors. Starbuck cockpit. The new Kachansky storms through into the cockpit and confronts the new Lister.
Are you crazy, Lister? Are you totally nuts? You risk your own neck and everybody else's just to save my life. You do that again and I'll kill you.
Hey, Kachansky.
He gets out of the pilot's seat, spits out what is left of his cigar, and pulls the new Kachansky close.
Shut up.
He holds her tight and starts to kiss her. At first she struggles, but soon she is passionately kissing him back. Corridor outside the lounge. Sebastian looks away from the observation screen, depressed. He sighs. Leisure World International. They leave the Total Immersion Video Arcade and enter the car park level. They pass two posters stuck on the wall. Editor's note, Captain Hollister's voice will be Sebastian's. Not to confuse anyone with this.
Vote fascist for a third glorious decade of total law enforcement.
Be a government informer. Betray your family and friends. Fabulous prizes to be won.
They arrive at the limo, which is covered with a car cover.
There it is.
This is your car.
Bay 47. A young child runs into view and across the car park, being chased by a man in a suit.
Note, the voice for the cop will be the old Hollies. There are too many characters and I can't invent a new voice. Hog or I'll fire. The child runs right between Billy and Jake while the cop stops and raises his gun. Move, voggers.
Move an inch and I'll crush every bone in your body.
The cop has lost the girl, but he does not lower his gun. It's an automatic weapon that looks all too loaded. He approaches the group angrily. You helped an enemy of democracy escape. She was stealing an apple of the people.
A bullet. Cybernautics.
That's traffic control. Jake is crestfallen and turns his badge around to look at it. The others, sans Sebastian, can't believe their bad luck. Neil, Vogers, you are under sentence of death. Come out of the shadows, Voger. Sebastian walks forward, arms raised in surrender.
What's the beef? Did she steal your lunchbox?
The cop finally gets a look at who he's talking to. M-M-M-A-N-Y apologies, Voger Colonel. Had I known it was you, he slowly lowers his gun, lowers his head, and clicks his heels in a salute. Forgive me.
You know me.
Of course, Voger Colonel.
Who am I?
You are Colonel Sebastian Doyle, Section Chief of CGI, Head of the Ministry of Alteration.
Remind me a little. What do we do at the Ministry of Alteration?
You change people, sir.
In what way?
You change them from being alive people to being dead people. To purify democracy.
Purify?
No one has done more to purge the ballot boxes than the Voger Colonel.
So, why has he been away for 4 years?
Excuse me, Voger Colonel, but is this some sort of test?
Answer him.
The rumor was that you had grown weary of your glorious duties and had gone away in secret to renew yourself. The child, a little girl, leaves her hiding place and tries to run away. Halt! The cop raises his gun and fires a few shots and then slumps to the ground, revealing Jake Bullitt, a half-man with a weapon aimed right at the spot where the cop used to be standing. Starbuck rear section. All of a sudden the view switches to an interior of Starbuck, where Lister, Cat, Crichton, and Rimmer are acting out their adventures in a totalitarian state, unbeknownst to them. Crichton is holding a crossbow.
Killed him.
Totalitarian car park.
Let's get out of here. In the car.
Starbuck rear section.
Get in the car.
I killed him.
We haven't got time for that, Crichton. In the car.
I killed a human.
In the car.
They all sit on boxes and trunks in Starbuck. They are arranged 2x2 in a car shape. Lister is driving, Crichton is the front seat passenger, and Cat and Rimmer are in the back seat.
Look out! Fascist cops by the left and they are armed! You're hit!
The cat grabs his injured right arm.
Hello! For the 3000th time, you're hallucinating. Can anyone hear me?
Oh, speed bumps!
They hit the imaginary speed bumps by Lister and Crichton bouncing up first, followed immediately by Cat and Rimmer. They bounce up a second and third time over more bumps.
Chicken.
They swing left, right, and left again on their boxes.
Look out, dash the barrier.
Brace yourselves. We're going through it.
They crash the barrier with much bouncing around.
Motorcycles. Looks like they're carrying personal rocket launchers.
That bridge dash think we can make it.
It's raising.
Got any better ideas?
Let's do it.
Lister grabs an imaginary stick shift and goes down a gear. He slams the pedal to the floor. They sway back from the accelerations G-F-O-R-C-E. The car hits the bridge and takes off. They hit the other side, are shaken about, but are okay.
We made it. Nice driving. Around, so long suckers.
Oh! Helicopters. Oh, I'm going to have to dump the limo.
Lister swerves around a bit and brings the limo to a hasty stop.
Okay, come on. Go. Go. Go.
They all get out and begin running around the crates except for Cat, who sits for a little while holding his wounded arm. After looking around frantically for a moment, he also manages to open his door and gets out to join in the running.
Down the alley.
Back in the hallucination scene, they run down an alleyway and come to a halt by a flashing neon sign of a burger bar. Most of the group is looking back to see if there is any pursuit, but not Jake.
I killed him. I killed a human.
Jake puts his gun to his own head. He pulls the trigger. Click. It doesn't go off.
Damn.
What are you doing?
It is fundamental to me never to take a life, no matter what the provocation. I could have stunned him. I killed him. I must terminate myself.
Jake ejects the clip from his gun, examines it, and reinserts it. He kicks a bullet into the chamber.
This is a nightmare. I'm on the run from the fascist police with a murderer and a mass murderer and a man in a burly nibble shirt. A flotsam, jetsam, human wreckage, spewing bag who smells like a yak latrine. And now my best flashy Mac is about to be splattered with an android's brain. I'm after you with the gun.
Yeah, count me in too.
Dibble.
But there's only one bullet left.
We could put our heads together and the bullet could go down the line.
They all get close together with their heads in a line. Jake holds the gun to his head. Starbuck rear section. Crichton is holding the crossbow loaded with the bow against his head as the group stands in line waiting to be killed.
Crichton, I'm broadcasting on a higher frequency. Can you hear me now?
Did somebody say something?
You're hallucinating. Put the gun down.
I think I'm going to put the gun down.
Walk forward 3 paces.
I think I'm going to walk forward 3 paces.
Well, he's cracking up.
I've a strange compulsion to pick up this fire extinguisher and twist the release wheel.
Starbuck rear section.
Have you quite finished being strange?
Crichton has a canister of lithium carbonate in his hands. He puts it back down.
I'm sorry, sir. I don't know what came over me.
They all put their heads together again, gun at the ready.
Okay.
Okay.
You're hallucinating.
The group of misfits looks startled. Starbuck rear section.
You're hallucinating.
The group appears to be snapping out of it.
What?
I thought you weren't going to make it. Welcome back to reality.
What happened?
You had a group hallucination. Brought on by the ink from the despair squid. You were about to commit suicide, just like the crew of the Esperanto, until the mood stabilizer saved you.
The lithium carbonate.
What? We would have really killed ourselves?
Of course. The hallucinations were designed to induce despair. To attack the very things we each consider quintessential to our self-esteem. Take Mr. Lister back there. He could no longer blame his failings and shortcomings on his parents because he shared an upbringing with you, sir, his richer, more important half-brother. The cat lost his cool and life for him no longer have any meaning because he is so mind-numbingly shallow.
That's right, superficial is my middle name.
And you, sir, you have always prided yourself on being a good man, a man of moral courage. So, when you thought you were a mass-murdering butcher in the totalitarian state, despair. Despair destined to drive you over the edge.
And with you it was taking a human life.
Precisely.
Not deadly.
No.
Rumor.
I'm afraid so.
So, what happened to the despair squid?
I took care of that. Limpet Mines Dash, there's enough fried calamari out there to feed the whole of Italy.
Well, I say let's get out of here.
Flight coordinates programmed. Switching to pilot cooperation until we hit the surface.
Those planet engineers really screwed up in a big way here, didn't they? Playing God. The evolutionary process threw up a life force so much stronger and more deadly than any other species dash damn near wiped out everything on the entire planet. Spreading despair and destruction wherever it stuck its ugly mush.
HMM, that sounds rather reminiscent of a species sitting not a million miles away from you now. Ha ha ha. You probably have to be a mechanoid to fully appreciate that one.
Crichton, no one likes a smuggler android. Hit the retros.
We're on our way, sir.
Starbuck lifts off the ocean floor and heads off. The end. I hope that all the voices weren't too confusing. I tried my best to make distinctions. Beginning of this episode, me, Thomas Jetchy, is taking control of the scenes. All questions and comments should be directed to geczyearthlink.net or gt1991gmail.com. Hope you enjoyed. Yes, we needed to use Ugly Wendy.